We're reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, and the chapter 12, and we'll begin to read at the verse number 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter 12, I'm beginning to read at verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Amen. And we will conclude our reading at the verse number 12. And before we come to consider this passage of God's word together, let us all seek his face together in prayer, and let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we draw humbly into thy presence in our Saviour's name, through the merit of his blood shed for our salvation. We give thanks for him, the one who endured our hell, the one who suffered in our place upon the cross, the one by whose stripes we are healed, and the one in whose name we come before thee to worship thee, to praise thee, to give thanks for who thou art, the one true and living God, our Creator, our Saviour, the one who is eternal and unchangeable, the one who watches over us and controls all things in our world and in our lives. We confess our sins to thee. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for cleansing through the Saviour's blood. We ask for help to live for thee. We give thanks for all that you have done for us in the days that have passed, and we commit ourselves and our lives to thee today, praying that we would worship thee on thy day, and that it would please thee to speak to us through thy word. We pray that you would help us and guide our thoughts and enable us in what we say and in what we think to receive thy truth and to walk in thy ways. These things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Luke chapter 11 records the Lord Jesus in his ministry, preaching, casting out devils, and dealing with criticism. Luke chapter 11 verse 37 tells us that a Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus into his home for a meal. The Pharisees were that strict and self-righteous group among the Jews who were the Lord's enemies. This event, although it was unusual, It was not the first time that the Lord was invited to a Pharisee's home. We read about a previous occasion in Luke chapter 7. Why the Pharisees invited the Lord into their homes on these occasions, we cannot be sure. It is possible that being embarrassed by the Lord's teaching in public, they hoped to trap him in his words in private and find something to accuse him of. And they were quick here to notice in verse 38 of Luke 11 that the Lord did not wash before dinner. The Pharisees had many traditions and regulations for washing. And these regulations, traditions, they were not related to hygiene, but they were religious rituals. The Lord Jesus Christ, who as a man upon this earth was a man of great directness and boldness, he quickly reveals the dreadful hypocrisy of these Pharisees. He tells them in verses 39 and 40 that they worry about the washing of external things, but their hearts on the inside are full of evil. He says in verse 39, "Now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness." In verse 41, he says that they think that their charitable work that they do makes them clean or righteous before God. In verse 42, he says that the Pharisees keep all of the regulations about giving tithes, but they forget the spiritual and the most important meaning of the law, to love the Lord with all of their heart and to live just and honest lives. In verse 43, the Lord says that they love being praised. They seek to be seen, to be important. They are full of pride. And he concludes his summary of them in verse 44 by pronouncing a woe upon them as hypocrites. Verse 44, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them." They look good from a distance, but they're just all show. Some of the lawyers, they respond saying that the Lord is criticizing them. Verse 45, "Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also." These lawyers were the interpreters of the law. We could loosely describe them as preachers or teachers. They were offended at being criticized, but the Lord does not hold back. And he goes further in verses 46 to 52. He exposes the hypocrisy of these teachers or preachers among the Pharisees. In verse 46, he says that they tell people to do things that they will not do themselves. From verse 48 through to verse 51, the Lord says that they try to face both ways at once. They celebrate the memory of the prophets, but their ancestors killed the prophets. And these hypocrites, they try to justify the actions of their ancestors who committed murder, while at the same time they try to honour the memory of those who were murdered. And the Lord, he pronounces a woe upon them in verse 52. He says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." He says they have committed terrible sin. Not only have they rejected the truth of God themselves, they have hindered others from following the Lord. And the Lord's words at this time, they infuriated the hypocrites who heard him. And we read of that in verses 53 and 54. They vehemently attacked him. And as all of this was going on, a great crowd was gathering. And we read of that in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, First of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." As the Lord was having this disputation with the Pharisees, this great crowd gathers, and the Lord, having spoken so firmly and boldly to the religious hypocrites, he then turns to speak to his disciples. Because there are things related to what he has just been saying that he wants to apply to his own people. And it's those things in the early verses of Luke chapter 12 that we'd like to consider today. Warnings. Warnings from the Saviour. Warnings from of the Savior. The first warning that the Savior gives to his people is beware of hypocrisy. Beware of hypocrisy. He says there in verse 1, speaking unto his disciples first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He tells his people, beware of hypocrisy, because a little goes a long way. A little goes a long way. He tells them, beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And this religious hypocrisy, it is simply when our outward profession does not match what is in our hearts. And the Lord describes this sin of religious hypocrisy as leaven. He says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. This description of the sin of hypocrisy is very revealing. Leaven, or what may be called yeast, is used in small quantities when making bread. It's the leaven that causes the dough to rise and to expand. And a small amount of leaven, it permeates the whole mixture and it causes the whole mixture to rise. And the spiritual lesson from this picture is that a little bit of hypocrisy in our hearts, in our thinking, it spreads out across our whole spiritual lives. And hypocrisy, like leaven, it causes a rising up of pride and of self in a way that changes our whole lives. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6 and says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? He emphasizes that only a little leaven has a big impact. And so in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, the Lord warns his people of the danger of this sin of religious hypocrisy. This sin of having religion as just an outward show. This sin of judging others by standards that we do not apply to ourselves. This sin of harboring in our hearts secret sins while professing outwardly to be holy in our public lives. The Lord says to beware of such sin because it is leaven. It spreads throughout our whole outlook. It causes a rising up of self and of pride. And it is the opposite of what we should be. Sincere and true and honest before God in our hearts and in our actions before them. So the Lord warns his people, beware of hypocrisy because a little goes a long way. And he warns his people, beware of hypocrisy because it will be exposed. It will be exposed. Verses 2 and 3, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. The Lord says that the concealed things will be revealed, the things done in private that are not consistent with our public profession of faith in Christ will be exposed. The thoughts and the attitudes that are hidden deep within our hearts will be revealed, and this happens to some degree here in our lives on this earth. We can think of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 and their hypocrisy in claiming to be more generous in their support of the Lord's work than they actually were, and the lies that they engaged in to conceal their hypocrisy. But their hypocrisy was exposed, and this exposure of our hypocrisy will fully happen on the day of judgment. We read of this in the book of Ecclesiastes, at the end of that book, Ecclesiastes and chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. It will all be exposed one day. The Lord here in Luke chapter 12 and verse 3, he makes specific reference to our words. He says, therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And how often our private comments are not consistent with what we say in public. Now, there are many things that should not be talked about in public, but it is undoubtedly the case that our public words are often not what we really think and contain hypocrisy. It is also the case that there are things that we should be saying more publicly. We should be speaking more publicly the words that the Lord has given us to say. The Lord uses very similar language to make this point in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. The Lord says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." We shouldn't be keeping the truth of God behind closed doors. We should be proclaiming God's word from the rooftops. And so the Lord, here he warns of two dangers. There's the danger of saying sinful things in private that are shameful and hypocritical before God. And there is another danger of believing and knowing the truth in private, but not speaking it out publicly. And the Lord warns us that one day, both forms of hypocrisy will be exposed. So we're warned to avoid this sin. We're warned to fight against it and to struggle against it by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to beware of hypocrisy. Because one day, that hypocrisy which makes such a difference in our lives, one day it will be exposed. The first warning is beware of hypocrisy. And then, secondly, the Lord warns his people, do not fear men. Do not fear men. The word "and" at the beginning of verse 4 indicates that this warning about not fearing men is linked to the previous warning about hypocrisy. Verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." Nothing generates hypocrisy quite like the fear of men. And notice as the Lord gives this warning to his people, he does so to his people as the one who is our great friend. "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." This warning is the warning of our great friend. These are not the words of a harsh critic, but the one who is our friend, the one who is our eternal friend, the one who is the friend of Calvary, the one who shed his blood for us, the one who not only warns us, but the one who by his grace and help enables us to heed the warnings that he gives to us. And so, as our great friend, he warns us, do not fear men. And in giving us this warning, he tells us that men will attack us. As his people, as Christians, men will attack us, and at worst, they can even kill us. Verse 4, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do." If you think of all of the terrible things that can happen before that worst outcome of death, we realise that men in the world can do many things to us. Men can take from us our reputation by false accusations. Men can take from us our freedom, our finances, our homes, our employment, our friends, even our families. Men can take from us our sense of belonging. One of the reasons we fear men is the fear of criticism, the fear of rejection, the fear of being ostracized. And this is a fear that the cults use very powerfully to control their members. And these dreadful things can happen. And so the fear of man is a very real thing for us, and it's something that we struggle with. And the Lord warns us as our friend, do not fear men. And remember the Lord Jesus who spoke these words, our friend, our great eternal friend. He lived as a man upon this earth, and he experienced the very worst that men can do. The danger in fearing man is that we do not love the Lord and serve him the way we should. The danger in fearing man is that we compromise on things that we know in our conscience that we should do, or things we know in our conscience that we should not do, but we are led into compromise by this fear of being the outsider, this fear of being ridiculed or labelled or attacked by others. And how real was this danger for those that the Lord spoke to in this passage. The Pharisees, they viciously pursued those who desired to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The Pharisees would put people out of the synagogue if they followed the Lord, and so many didn't, because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And those who live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, as the scriptures tell us. And the Lord tells us that men will oppose us for following him. We should expect that opposition. We should expect that hostility. But he tells us we should not fear men. And he tells us that we should not fear men because man's power is limited. Man's power is limited. Verse 4 of Luke chapter 12. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. He says that at worst, men can kill you. But if they go to that great length, that is the last that they can do. And the Lord Jesus reminds us that men have no power in eternity. He reminds us that the things that trouble us now will not matter in eternity. He teaches us that beyond this short life is our eternal state, and that is what matters most of all. Men can trouble us for a lifetime, but what is a lifetime in comparison to eternity? Samuel Rutherford was a Scottish preacher in the 1600s. He worked all of his life to see the cause of the Lord Jesus established in Scotland. But by the end of his life, things have become very dark and difficult in Scotland, and King Charles II had started a campaign of persecution. And many would give their lives in the struggle to preserve the truth of God's word from the power of the king. Samuel Rutherford, as a prominent preacher, he was on the list of those to be tried and executed. And he was sick and he was dying when the king's messengers arrived to summons him to his trial. And Rutherford's answer was that they were too late. He already received a summons from heaven. And he said, I have a summons already from a superior judge, and I behold to answer my first summons. And when your day arrives, I shall be where few kings and great folks come. Samuel Rutherford knew that at the end of his life he would answer to God. And he knew that the power of men stops at the borders of eternity. And that is why we must do God's will on earth. That is why we must serve him and obey him and not fear men. Because while the power of men is great for a time, it would seem on earth, the power of man is limited, and it does not extend into eternity. And so the Lord warns us, do not fear men. He warns us, beware of hypocrisy. And then the third warning in this passage, he warns us, fear God. Fear God. The Lord Jesus urges his own disciples, his own people, to fear God. Verse 5, he says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. He tells us that we should fear God because he is the Almighty Judge. He is the Almighty Judge. We should fear God because he is the judge of all the earth. He has power not only to kill the body, but to cast the soul and the body into the torments of eternal hell. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. The word power here, it points to the Lord's authority. He alone is the judge. We will appear before him alone, and it is to him that we will give an answer for our lives. The Lord emphasizes this matter very strongly. He uses that word fear 3 times in verse 5. Fear him. And what a difference the fear of God makes in our lives as his people. We should not fear God in a slavish way, but we should fear him as his children. We should fear offending him. We should fear disobeying him. We should fear dishonouring him. We should have holy reverence for him. We should remember his greatness and our smallness. We should remember that we are only grasshoppers in his sight. We should remember that it is only by his grace that we are saved and not by anything that we have done. We should not fear that God will turn us into hell, because he has promised that no one trusting in the Saviour's blood will ever be in hell. But we should fear him because he could have turned us into hell. He would have been just in doing so. And let us not forget that as his people, we will one day give an account of our lives. God will not hold our sins against our name and cast us away, but we will answer for our lives. We will answer to God for how we have lived, for the opportunities that he gave us, for the things that we spent our time on, for the things that we spent our money on, for the things that we loved, for the way that we behaved, for the way that we treated others, for our priorities in life. Oh, that we would remember every day that we get up, that we will answer to the Lord for that day, and how we spent those precious moments. May we remember in every decision that we make and every attitude that we form that one day we will answer to the Lord for it all. The Lord delivered this warning to his disciples to fear God, not only because those who are truly his will answer, but because there were those who claimed to be his disciples who were not truly saved. Judas Iscariot professed to follow the Lord, but he did not fear God. He was not saved. The Lord speaks of those who are truly his in verse number 8, Luke chapter 12, verse 8. He says, also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess thee before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He says his true disciples, they follow him, they confess him in the world until the end of their lives. And then in verse 9, he describes those who, because of the fear of men, give up their profession of faith. They turn against the Lord completely, and finally, they deny him absolutely. Verse 9, but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. He is not speaking of those who, like Peter, fall into temporary sin, but he speaks of those whose hearts are false, those who completely and finally reject the Lord Jesus, those who do not repent as Peter did. Such people are truly not saved, and they are under the wrath of God. In verse 10, the Lord speaks of the greatest outright denial of him that will not be forgiven. Verse 10, and whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. This sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost, it is committed by attributing the power of the Lord Jesus that he used in his miracles to the power of the devil, as some did, just recorded back in Luke chapter 11 and verse 15. And so the Lord, he speaks of the need to fear God, because the great day of accounting is coming. The day of God's great and searching judgment upon all men. The day when each one of us who are saved will give an account of ourselves to God. The day when the false professor will be exposed. And the day when those who are not saved will stand before the Lord to receive judgment for your sins and how we should fear him. If you're not saved, you need to think of that day when you will stand before your Maker, the one who is the final judge, the one with power, authority to destroy both soul and body in hell forever. And what must it be to stand before him in all of your guilt and sin, without any covering, without any hope, having heard the message of his salvation, having heard of how there is mercy for those who repent and those who trust in the blood of Christ shed for sinners upon the cross, having had all of those privileges to stand before his judgment throne without any covering for your sin, to be cast away forever. Oh, today is your day of opportunity to prepare for that day when you will give an account for him, to him, by trusting in Christ and receiving his salvation. And for those of us who are saved, may the truth that we will one day answer to the Lord, may it motivate us, may it make us careful, may it make us earnest to always seek him and to love him and to follow him with all of our heart, knowing one day that we will answer to him for the lives that we have lived here below. We are to fear God because he is the Almighty Judge. We are to fear God because he is the faithful Father. He is the faithful Father. The Lord Jesus says that we should fear God. We should have a holy reverence and respect for God because he is our faithful Father. Verses 6 and 7 of Luke chapter 12. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The Lord speaks of the case of 5 sparrows being sold for a very small amount of money, and 1 sparrow is worth so little that they're only sold in 5s. And yet even though their value is so small in the eyes of men, they're all individually remembered by God. He sees and he knows, and he even cares for the life of each little sparrow. But in the case of his children, those bought by the blood of his dear son, his care for us is far greater. He not only remembers us, he knows every small detail of our lives. Verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. The hairs of our head are all numbered. It is an indication of the deep love and the concern of God, our Father, for each one of his children. And in light of this we are told, fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know, if we could understand our value to God, there's nothing in us to merit his interest, but by his grace he has saved us and we are valued by him. We have been brought near to him by the blood of our Saviour. We are his precious children, his jewels, the apple of his eye. We should not fear the world, its dangers, its troubles. We should not fear the future with all of its uncertainty. We should not fear men, even though they can do much against us in this life. We should not fear to trust ourselves to God's will, for he is our faithful Father. We should only fear God and reverence him as our Father. He watches over us. He's always with us by the Holy Spirit within. Verses 11 and 12 explain there that even when we are persecuted and when we are brought before authorities, we should not be alarmed or disturbed about what they say, as the Holy Ghost is the one who will teach us what we ought to say on such an occasion. For the Lord is always with his people. And so we are to fear God because he is our Father. And because we fear him, love him, reverence him, then we have nothing else to fear. And so, in love, the Lord gives these warnings to his people to teach us to avoid all pretense and religious show and hypocrisy, to teach us not to fear men and not to allow us to cause men to lead us into compromise and into distress, but to fear God, to trust him, for he is the one who loves us and the one who will never fail us. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. Thank you for listening, and we trust the Lord will bless you and that he will use his word in our hearts according to his will.